Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. It is, what is today? Wednesday.
May 11th.
So today we have an Instagram hustler.
Sure.
Well, that's what I, when in the mornings when I, you know, drink coffee and look at Instagram, I see the hustlers. And you guys are one of them. I love it. I think so. You guys are Not Too Shabby. That's the name of the store up in Milford.
Yep.
And you are Don Vaughn, which is probably the easiest name I've ever had to remember. I love it. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for all of it.
Cool. I appreciate that.
So what's going on?
Not much, man.
How are you?
Good. Good.
So we'll talk about this Not Too Shabby because following you, I'm like, this guy's got some great stuff for sale.
Well, I mean, so we opened in 2017.
Nice.
Under the premise that we were just going to be home decor, painted furniture, that kind of thing. You know, we were open just a few days a week. Wanted to be kind of low key about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that we just wanted to try. My husband had just sold a business, and we were trying to kind of take a step back. And we were just kind of doing our thing. We were open Thursday through Sunday. The other days, we just kind of did our thing, grabbing stuff. Because of the repurposing furniture, we had to find it in interesting ways, you know, auctions, flea markets. We would travel, you know, to different states to grab stuff. The couple days off in a row, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday allowed us to kind of go grab the goodies.
Yeah.
Find stuff. He takes old vintage radios and upcycles them to Bluetooth speakers, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, all of the things shabby as you can imagine, like taking an old dresser, repainting it and scuffing it up, making it look old again, things like that. As our business kind of changed gears a little bit, you know, his previous business was a flower shop. He can't shake off that clientele. He didn't do it for a period of time, and some of his old customers kept coming back and saying, you know, we really miss that aspect of what he did because he did it very well and did it for a very long time. So we added that back into our business, I'd say late 2018-ish.
Okay.
Because, you know, you can't do flowers part-time. It's something that you need equipment stuff like that. So we added that back in, and fast forward, here we are. 2022, we're doing it. We're doing all the things.
So when you guys started the Not Too Shabby, was it more less flowers and more shabby? And now you're finding that you need to do flowers as well? Or there's still a customer base for flowers?
There is an incredible customer base for flowers. When we started Not Too Shabby, we didn't have intention to do flowers at all. And, you know, after having people come in and asking for that, we started to, you know, he started to do it again, I should say. Yeah. I wasn't really doing it. You know, while I've done all of the education around that, taking the classes and things like that, I'm not creative enough to do that like he is. He has an eye for where things need to be and the patience to make it happen. I mean, it just kind of morphed. And then as we kind of switched gears, we added local artisans. We met cool people locally that make soaps and stained glass and apparel and, you know, just kind of odds and ends, and it kind of fills the store out a little bit better for us. We can talk about that.
Yeah, well, pre-pandemic, I felt like, you know, how life was, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like, I don't know, it feels like the pandemic kind of pushed some things kind of back into, I don't know. Flowers are a weird kind of subject for me because I love buying flowers, you know, for different things. But it always seems like, you know, we've watched the small flower shops kind of grow into bigger flower shops. And then we went like online flowers, like you just order flowers from somewhere and they just show up. And then you see the local flower guy still trying to make it. And so the battle is on. And now it feels like after the pandemic, I don't know, flower shops are busier than they used to be.
Well, so there are a few things to this. The pandemic is an issue that we can certainly talk about in regards to how it affected our business. The flower shop aspect, pop and pop, mom and pop, mom and mom, whatever the dynamic is, owned, is a vital part of the community for lots of reasons. And when we talk about online flower ordering, that could be a whole podcast, because we deal with that every holiday and how the dynamic of that is. And we can certainly talk about that today, because coming off of Mother's Day, I'm going to do a live for our Facebook and talk about something that I tried. But pre-pandemic, I mean, so people generally know us most because December 2019, the first week of December, our business burned down, and people remember that. So imagine, our business, we were in an old building. It was an electrical fire. We weren't in the building.
Where was this?
In Milford also. It was okay. Over here with Boulevard. It was on the corner. It was next to a building called Rumstitch, a business that does machine workings and metal and stuff like that. We lost everything. We were grossly underinsured, and we lost everything. You have the holiday season. And then shortly after the holiday season, the world kind of screeched to a halt with COVID.
Yeah.
We were supported by an amazing community in Milford, people near and far. I'm able to talk about it now without crying and tearing up about it because it's incredibly humbling. I say that as my lip trembles.
Don't start, man. There's a Kleenex in front of you.
it's incredibly humbling to watch everything that you worked really hard for, kind of take a tailspin, and to be in like a place like Grotto's or something like that and have a complete and utter stranger walk up to you you've never met, and they just, they felt your struggle during a time of a year that, no one has anything extra to give during December if you have family or don't have a family. And our community kind of reached out, and I mean, I can't say it enough. Our community loves and supports us in a way that I never imagined seeing. And then, we kind of shook it off the best we could. We recouped, we rallied. We had another location temporarily opened in less than 10 days because I'm not a quitter. That being said, we slid into the pandemic being an essential business because I have an agriculture license along with a Milford City license and a Delaware State business license that allowed us to operate, and still provide floral products and things like that. And we were dropping stuff in people's mailboxes, whether it was bars of soap, candles, things like that. Technically, we were allowed to let people into the shop because we were considered an essential business. In the beginning, we kind of took it safe and did not do that just to kind of keep everything as we learned about COVID. We kind of got bigger and better, and we kind of gained our footing again, and through a lot of hard work and a lot of Instagram hustling, let's say, and Facebook hustling, we're where we are again today.
Well, it's weird, and fire is obviously horrible, but there's something. I remember Suzanne Summers. She said that nothing clears out a junk drawer like a house fire.
Yeah,
right. It's like we hold on to so much stuff, and I understand financially the fear and being underinsured and all that. But there's like this. We get so connected to the stuff, and then when it's all gone, you're like, huh, okay, well, I guess we're gonna start over.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it was a good thing, but sometimes it's like when you can kind of have a big reset like that, it's almost like freeing.
Yeah, I mean,
not that it was terrible.
Right, no.
But there is a kind of like, oh my God, all right, we made it, and we lost all of our stuff, and we still survived.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, because I'm not a quitter. I didn't see. I mean, obviously, we saw it as horrible. It was detrimental financially. All of that kind of stuff. It was devastating financially for a lot of reasons. For many reasons that, our business model never really positions us in a place that I'm going to put things on credit cards and stuff like that. Mm. So in that situation, when you're pulling directly out of your liquid assets, so to speak, mm-hmm. And then to lose it all that quickly is rough. We did lose a lot of stuff. We lost a lot of stuff that probably we'll never even remember. And then, there were the things from customers or, gifts from, a little kid that comes in that had a really cool time the last time they were in town. They leave you a little card or something like that. Those are the kind of things that suck. Obviously we lost goods and stuff like that. But, freeing and things like that. I mean, you know, are not words that I would necessarily use for me, because you know, there's always a skeptic that's going to come in the background and be like, see, I knew it wasn't so bad for them kind of thing. But it is eye-opening, and it makes you realize and humble yourself and say, well, I didn't really need this. And, you know, like I put a lot of value in an item that, you know.
Well, I think what I mean when I say freeing, I mean, it's just like you have work. Like if I was to look at myself, I'd be like, oh, my God, if we lost everything, what would we do? Right. But you figure it out. Yeah. Right. You dig in.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff.
You do it.
You do it.
Figure out whatever it is.
It makes you stronger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when I mean like freeing, I mean like free of the burden of fear of what happens if we lost all of our stuff. Yeah. That's what I mean
by
freeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't take it in any other way than that. But like, I mean, I think a lot of people, you are. Do I think there could have been something below that, like a further rock bottom? Absolutely. I'm thankful for the situation that we're in. I'm thankful for the community that rallied, you know.
I didn't know anything about this. Yeah. I just thought you guys had a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, look at these guys up in the middle for killing it. Yeah. I love it. They got great.
I appreciate
that. Well, and I love the fact also that you're kind of refurbishing older stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, new stuff today, I mean, it is nice and stuff, but it doesn't have... I don't know. It just feels so...
There's no story.
There's no story. It just feels like more just replacement junk.
Yeah, and you're probably... so if we were to just talk about a piece of furniture, we meet a lot of people that are moving into the area. You know, they kind of don't know what's going on. They see a sign. They think not too shabby. Our neighbor tells them. So they pop in. And, our inventory changes on a regular basis based on what we have sold the week before.
Yeah.
You know, you may like the dresser with 6 drawers. I may only have that one dresser. When it's gone, I have to find another dresser, right? Or I pull one down out of storage or out of a barn and I paint it and we move on. My point is that because our inventory changes on such a regular basis, it's the kind of shop that if you see it, you should get it. It shouldn't be something you go home and talk to the wife about or the husband. Cool. I mean, it creates a level of anxiety for people if they see something they really like, if they're not in a space that they can grab it yet.
Anxiety.
Right, yeah.
You got anxiety, they got anxiety, we've just got anxiety.
Exactly.
How am I going to get that stuff?
Right. I mean, and we had conversations with customers who were, maybe ordered furniture at said big box store, and they're, wait 6-8 months for 2 of the 5 pieces to come in. And, when you're repurposing old stuff and avoiding the dump or burning it in a fire pit or whatever we're doing in Sussex and Kent County again with that stuff, you're kind of, reduce, reuse, recycling that whole process, which feels good to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting ready to move. I've never been a big fan of antiques.
Yeah, I feel that.
Just didn't care. Yep. I mean, I get it, they're old and stuff, but I felt like newer stuff looked better.
Yeah.
And so we're getting ready to move into this new house, and my dad has a lot of antiques, but like a 150-year-old dining room table. I'm like, this thing is kind of awesome. Like, I guess as I've gotten older, maybe stop worrying so much about my damn self and start paying attention to other things in the world. I'm like, this freaking table is pretty awesome. He has this beautiful yellow dry sink. I'm like, and he has a great, it's looks like a big throne with like hooks for your coats. And then the seat opens up. And it's got a big mirror.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm like, this stuff I really didn't care about, but now that I've gotten older, I'm like, these would look really great in our new house.
You have an appreciation for it.
Yeah, he gave us a jelly cabinet.
That's cool.
A jelly cabinet. There was a cabinet they used to use just for keeping jelly in.
Absolutely.
How fucking cool is that?
Yeah, and they usually have like the pressed tin or that really fun kind of look on the front and rustic and all that. I mean, so we don't do a whole lot of antiques. We'll get antique like items, if you were to define an antique and what that means, we do get a fair share of that. The problem for us is the thought process behind repurposed furniture right now is everything needs a coat of paint on it. And so when we get things that are what you would consider a true antique, the conversation changes quickly. You get someone in at the right age. Yeah, right.
Like, antique professional.
Yeah. Oh, you shouldn't paint that. Solid. So you want to buy it today. Awesome. I'll meet you at the counter.
I'll box it up for you.
Yeah, right. Oh, no, you didn't want to buy it. You just wanted to give me your opinion. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then it sits for, 3 months, 4 months. Well, like anything, that's money sitting on the table waiting to be collected. So, I mean, we slap a coat of white, gray, or black paint on it, distress it, because that's what people want to see. And then it leaves quickly with all of the conversation like, I can't believe you painted that. We don't like to do a lot of antiques. Like true antique, like with fancy names like Arthur kind buffet, you know, sideboard. You know, and then the other side of it is when you're purchasing things like that because of the perceived value, people really attached to it and remembering where we are, because we do homework about where we are. You know, we know the dynamic of Milford and the areas that are around it. You know, we have to price it accordingly. So the true antique stuff can be kind of sketchy for us.
Yeah, well, antiques are, it's a weird situation. I mean, I think you just kind of hit on it. It's about value, right? Yeah. How much is this worth?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you're concerned about, that's a whole different group.
Yeah.
I like the idea of using the quality.
Yeah.
You know, I bought this.
It's not made the same.
I bought a chest of drawers for my son, and I'm like, are we going to take this thing to the new house? It's falling apart. I'm like, really what I need to do is kind of take it apart and rebuild it with wood glue.
Yeah.
You know, it's
lots
pressed
of clamps.
Wood.
Yeah. Lots of clamps.
Clamps, and it's a lot of, pressed wood and stuff. It's cheap material, but if I put it together with wood glue, it'd probably be fine.
Sure.
So when I look at stuff like my father's given me, it's really about just the quality of the wood, not the value. I could care. I don't care. I'm not selling it.
Yeah, well, it's rare. So what we see the most is you know, like in the area we're in, you know, people move to the area and, you know, they're moving into the developments that are, you know, you can reach out and touch your neighbor's window from your kitchen window, that kind of stuff, which there's no shade meant in that comment. But, you know, they're moving from large homes. Yeah. You know, north, south, east, west, wherever they've come from. I guess not east, not the north. Atlantic Ocean. Yeah.
From the north.
Probably. And they have, you know, Winterfeld. Big homes that they're now, you know, populating into these little tiny, you know, 1,800, 2,200 square foot homes. And they have all this great stuff that they're interested in selling. So they, you know, of course, meet me at the door.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you know, like I have this really cool this. We're great. It was my grandmother's. Awesome. So what do you want to pay for it? Because, you know, we go to auctions and stuff like that. And we buy, you know, things, various prices, depending on how cool it is, you know, and what it means to the person I'm bidding against. If you really like it and you're going to put it in your home and I'm just going to paint it, you might be willing to pay more for it at an auction than I'm willing to. My point is, you know, we talk to a customer or a possible customer about, you know, like your dad's table. You know, let's say you moved into a small house in 20 years and I'm still doing this, and God, I hope I'm not. And, you know, you're ready to sell it. You know, you've had all these family dinners and your father's had all these family dinners at it. So the perceived value in your mind is it's priceless, you know, like,
sure.
But I'm going to offer you, you know, depending on how cool the table
15
is,
bucks.
You know, something super low. Cause you know, the person that's going to purchase it doesn't give a shit that your family ate dinner at it for Thanksgiving for 25 years.
Right.
They're not going to care. So, I mean, antique stuff is really hard for us because, you know, it's based on a Pinterest picture. Someone has imagined this buffet or dresser in their guest room, and you know.
Well, honestly, if someone's into antiques, they're doing their work. They know what's going on. I mean, you have real antiquers.
Absolutely.
And then you have people that are like, maybe we can get lucky and find some cool antique.
Right.
But if they're in the antique game, they know what's up.
Absolutely. And
that's why I always say paint an antique. That gives an antiquer one day a nice reveal. I'm peeling back the paint that an idiot had painted on this old antique.
There's going to be a whole discovery. Business model. There's going to be a whole business model about that in 15 years. Someone that, you know, is well beyond their time is going to open up a shop that takes off all of this chalk paint and all the stuff that we've lacquered on furniture for the past 5 or 6 years and probably will continue for the next 5. You know, there's some, and that's maybe that'll be my next business. I'm going to open a business that unshabbies all the furniture, you know.
Well, now we're going to be, you know what you're going to need to start doing is start selling meta furniture.
Right.
It's a thing.
Right.
It is actually a thing. These people are, I mean, not you and I because we're out of the loop.
Right. Yeah.
But these kids, you know, they're buying real estate on the meta. They're going to need to have their cool gear on their, you know, their emoji meta, meta emoji, and then they're going to need some chairs to sit on.
Right, yeah.
Do you think we can start selling antique chairs on the meta?
Maybe. Get some really cool images.
Hell yeah. Old crusty chair with some old paint.
Right, exactly.
So I do like the idea that you guys have kind of, you're getting stuff that really you might only have one of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the fun thing about the business that you're in is that you get to have, and that's what got me. You guys seem like you have a lot of fun on social media with posting pictures. Yeah. I mean, you really are requiring someone that's interested in your stuff to really check in every day.
That's cool. That's how it's been. You know, one of the hardest conversations with a customer is, hey, I saw your post on Thursday on Instagram. Awesome. I really like that piece of furniture. Yeah, it's sold Friday morning.
It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and because it's, you know, the world we live in, I mean, someone will pay me on Facebook because you can pay within the Messenger app.
Yes.
They will pay me on Apple Pay. And, you know, I mean, they want to.
Venmo.
Because they get it. They know that if they don't do it now, it'll be gone. And that's, you know, I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's cool. It works for me. There have been times we went to an auction and I've snapped photos and I'll put measurements of something while I'm at the auction. Funny thing is sometimes I don't even own the item and I've sold it yet. And what I mean by that is let's say the table we're sitting at, I see it at the auction. I bid on it. I win the bid. I snap a photo. I measure it a little bit and then I post it to Facebook and Instagram.
And away it goes.
Yeah, and someone, you know, is sending me a message, I love that table, I got to have it, I'll pay you now. Keep in mind, I've not even went to checkout because the auction's 4 hours long, but I own the table, my number has bid on it, I'm going to pay for it. So, I mean, like, that happened a lot to us, too.
Yeah.
And when we were doing auctions on Thursday, I didn't realize it because I just, when you're in it, you don't realize how people are following, like you said, like, checking in to see what's going on. When we wouldn't go to an auction on a Thursday, people would message and say, no auction today. I didn't think, I just didn't think that people were that intense about it, but apparently they were.
Do you do auctions every week?
We were going to auctions every week. We're not as much right now only because the flower part of our business keeps us very busy.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. And you know, the flower business, I remember pre-pandemic, and I remember you and I talked a little bit. I remember conversations with people, and the flower business was iffy.
Yeah.
And
it can be.
Yeah, but it seems like it's kind of taken on, I don't know, it's weird. We were going through this thing where it's like everything's going online.
Yeah.
And we were just talking, it's like, how do we keep supporting local? But the price of things, and I'm the guy, can I get $100 worth of flowers? I don't ask that flower, how much does it cost? I just say, can you make me $100 worth of flowers? But I don't know how the price of flowers is changing, but it's like, you know, now you can get it at online flowers. I don't know where they're coming from.
I am here for this conversation, and this is the perfect time.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So there are many ways to buy flowers. I don't know how, I'm going to sound like an old man when I say this. So
can you do it in an old man voice?
Yeah. So our
sons of bitches.
Our buddy over here is going to get a true cackle out of this. So I know that, like, in the world of doing an internet search, you know, you can pay for your name to come to the top. I know that you can, you know, put yourself in a position to do that, or at least I've been told that you can make it so you're in the top of the search bar. So if you were to go online right now and type in, you know, flowers, you know, flower delivery Milford, Delaware, you know, a litany of places would pop up. And, you know, many of them would be places like Terry's Floral Flowers, Patricia's Petals, Patty's Petals, 1-800-Flowers, you know, things like that. And, you know, like, in it, it'll even go as far to say, you know, deliver in Milford today, right? And then if you scroll far enough, or if you put in, you know, home decor and you add some other things to your search, how that kind of stuff works, you might even find it not too shabby with a website and a phone number. And, you know, because Google is an utter pain in the ass, like, because of this postcard thing, when you move, they send you a postcard so they can update your hours and new address and all that. I've been in my new building for a year and haven't gotten my postcard yet. Mm. And I've requested it a handful of times. Anyway, so, like, you do that. Like, you go on because you're not from, you know, you're new to the area, or, you know, like, new girlfriend, you know, whatever, new significant other. So you go on and you're trying to get flowers ordered. So you just see, you know, Terry's Flowers. And we're going to use Terry's Flowers because I'm doing a live on my business page tonight to talk about Terry's Flowers. And you click on it and you're like, awesome. So the homepage doesn't look like a 1-800-Flowers homepage, which is also the devil, in all of the ways that I'm going to explain. So, like, you sign on and you're like, oh, I love this arrangement. You know, and let's say, and I'm going to use the example of what I did last week. You choose a jar arrangement. It looks like a mason jar. It's got sunflowers, kind of rustic. You know, it's the thing right now. Sunflowers, bright colors. You know, not a
rustic.
Lot of not a lot of carnations and roses. It just kind of looks like wildflowers. You're going to choose something. It might have a fun name. You're going to put in your delivery information. You're going to click all the buttons. You might even get a discount code that will automatically pop up. How amazing. You're so lucky. And Terry's Flowers is going to take your order. You're going to get a confirmation email like I did, and then you're going to think you're all good. So back to my live, we did a live and we talked about how we don't want our customers to do that because it sets up a lot of expectations that don't end up happening. So how those flower companies operate is they collect the orders. 1-800-Flowers is guilty of this as well. And there's a whole list of places that do that. And then they collect all the orders and then they start calling local flower shops. So we'll get an 800 number that will pop up on our caller ID. And it will be, any number of these flower shops. So we're going to use Terry's in this example. So I placed an order last week for this live thing that I did. It was a test. In the test, as I was talking about in the live, I asked my customers that were on my live to all say hi. At the end, I gave each person a number. We drew a number. And that person was going to get flowers from Terry's Flowers. So I placed the order, like I said, on Thursday. And I got a confirmation. I reached out to the customer and said, hey, look, thanks for participating in my little test. You'll get flowers on Saturday. Call me if you have any questions. This is a regular customer, so I was super happy to kind of send her. And if she gets something awesome, I'm thinking awesome. Saturday afternoon, my phone rings, my cell phone, my personal phone, which I would have placed an order on. And I couldn't answer it because it's the day before Mother's Day. Shop owner. I'm busy, right? So I read the voicemail. It's an iPhone. You get to read the voicemail instead of necessarily listen to it. It's Terry's Flowers. They have a problem with my order. I call it back, when I get a free moment, to no avail. Now I get put on hold. They call me back a little after 3 o'clock that afternoon, the day the flowers were ordered for, to tell me that the flowers can't be delivered because the driver has COVID. And then they hung up on me. So what people don't know is when they're placing an order with Terry's Flowers, who does not exist, it's a building with telemarketers in it that are receiving phone calls. They're going to call me and ask me to do the flowers, and they had earlier in the day, but we weren't accepting flower orders that way.
They asked you to do your own flowers.
Yeah, well, they don't know. They have no idea. They're calling. Right, they're calling a business, and they're like, "Hey, can you do this flower order?" They describe it.
So that's how it works. 1-800-Flowers is basically calling flower shops.
Yeah, but what you don't know is you've spent $80 on something, and they're calling me and offering me $65 with delivery because they need a cut, right? That's how that works. I mean, they did the work. They have a website to pay for. They have the employee they have to pay for. We have friends and we have local business owners that have been fortunate enough to be in the shop when that happens. So I answer the store phone and, I get, someone saying who they are and why they're calling. They wanted to see if we can get flowers out that day. And, depends on what it is, because the other side of this is the person who orders the flowers has no idea this is what's happening. The person who's receiving the flowers, it's not their fault and they have no idea. But there are so many pieces to this. The first piece is, if they're sending sympathy flowers, get well flowers, you just want to kind of pay it forward and make sure that that happens for them, right? But not at a detriment to your own business. Because I'm not going to take a loss for that, especially since a person chose not to reach out to us locally because they could have done a little homework or they could have called their friend that lived locally and say, hey, I wanted to send you something. Who would you recommend? So there's that. But then the other side of that is if we don't meet the expectation, I've slapped my business card on it. So there's that level of stress too. Like, hey, if they're not pleased with what they spent and what they get in return, then our name is still on it. And they're not going to put two and two together. They're not going to be mad at 1-800-Flowers. Right. They're going to see my business card on it, and they're going to be mad at me because their expectation wasn't met.
Well, I feel like we went through this period like, oh, everything's got to be easier. 1-800-Flowers, 1-800-Hamburger. It's like just text and get whatever you want. And it seemed neat. And then over time, we're like, wait a minute. This is like not as good.
We're not taking a lot of those orders, and even though it doesn't feel great in the moment because you realize that you could be potentially the only way for someone to get something to someone, I think that we have to force people to go in and or to reach out to small businesses again. I think it's important. Our whole business model has always been set up in a way that I want to see other people succeed with us. It feels good to me. I don't even have to know the owner. We patronize businesses. A funny story that I like to tell in regards to just supporting other businesses. So my husband didn't always work with me at Not Too Shabby. There was a period of time as he was selling a business and kind of exiting from that we were just doing home decor and furniture and stuff like that. And we weren't working together. I only saw him on Saturday afternoons and for a little while on Sunday because he was doing something else. So when, you know, that all of that other stuff transpired, our first Saturday driving in together, and I was, you know, it was summer or getting close to summer. I'm like, hey, we'll just drive together. And he was like, okay, sure. You know, that way, you know, because nothing was going on that we couldn't just drive together. We're leaving the same house, coming to the same place. Why wouldn't we?
Right.
So we get in the car. Our shop, I think, was opening at the time at 10. It's maybe 10 minutes before 9. And he's like, why are we leaving so early? I'm like, we're going to stop and get coffee. So, you know, I'm a little bit funny about coffee. It has to be a certain type of coffee, you know, or made a certain way. So we did stop at Starbucks. I'm guilty of that. So we stop and get coffee at Starbucks. And then we slide through town and we stop at a coffee shop again and bakery called Dolce. And
familiar.
Yep. So we stop there and we get some goodies, right? And then, you know, Milford is full of awesome things. So then we go to a place called My Sister's Fault, which is a Puerto Rican style bakery, and they have food. So we stop there and we get some empanadas, right? Awesome. We're excited for that, right?
Empanadas.
So yeah, good. They're amazing. They're open on the weekends. They make amazing desserts. Anyway.
Write that down, Dempsey. Get them on. Maybe get some food.
My Sister's Fault. Absolutely. You'll love them. So, and then, so there's a local bakery in Milford also called Fortunata's. They make rolls, things like that, all kinds of goodies. So then we stop over there and we get some more stuff.
We're going to have to start a Rehoboth social podcast. I mean, a Milford social yes, podcast.
Indeed.
The Milford social.
Now, so keep in mind, we've stopped at Starbucks. We've stopped at Dolce. We've went to My Sister's Fault now. And then we went to Fortunata's. I've got 4 bags of goodies.
You are set.
Right. You know, in that particular Saturday, we didn't stop at the farmer's market because Milford actually has one of the oldest farmer's markets in the state of Delaware.
Yeah.
Because they have cool stuff there too. And some of the places from the beach actually come up and sell. Anyway, so like, you know, we get to work. It's like 10 minutes to 10 at this point because we've been, you know, stopping all these places. And when you're in a business, people know you, so they stop and talk to you. And we get inside and I'm drinking my coffee. He's, you know, he's drank his coffee. He needs to have it scalding hot. It has to burn his throat lining for him. So it was gone long, you know, before our first stop probably. And he's like, I'm never driving to work with you again. This is ridiculous. Like, cause we've stopped all these places. My point of it is, you know, we like to see other people win. So it's always been important for us to support local businesses. You know, we eat locally. We do that as much as possible. We take pictures of our food. We take pictures of ourselves enjoying the food because we want people to see it. We want them to realize what's here. I can't tell you how many times people, would say to us, Rudy's in Harrington, which is like at one point was a 24-hour diner. They have amazing pizza. We went there one night and had pizza. I took a photo of it. I had people come in asking me about that. And there are so many places in this area that I've not even tried. There's a pizza place in where we are now that apparently has amazing pizza. I didn't see that until I pulled up and I saw your Instagram stuff about it. I'm like, oh, you think we have to come down here one night for pizza?
Titanic.
Yeah, like I've never had their pizza.
Hell yeah.
You know, so I mean.
Well, and I think it takes a village and it's, you know. It's weird. It's hard to, and the internet, you know, especially when you Google something, you know, Twitter does a great job of identifying real people, right, with the blue check mark. You know, maybe we should figure out how to, you know, promote local, I doubt they would, but, you know, some sort of symbol so that you know, oh, this is actually a local business.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you care, which you do, I do. When I buy flowers, I just bought flowers for, for something?
Mother's Day? Easter?
I don't like Mother's Day. I just don't like that day. I don't know why. I mean, I appreciate my mom and stuff, but it's like a weird.
Yeah.
It's a Hallmark holiday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in your business, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm here for it. But make more holidays. Make it Brother Day tomorrow.
You want more holidays?
Or Sister Day. I mean, you know.
We have 2 made up holidays in my family, and it's Nephew and Niece Day.
I love that.
So the day after Mother's Day is Nephew's Day. The day after Father's Day is Niece's Day.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah, so you know,
everybody gets a little bit of love.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Let's put it on the calendar. Let's start it up.
I learned something yesterday. So yesterday, we're closed every Sunday and Monday. I learned something yesterday. I mean, we like that we are able to cater to our entire community. And so I had a gentleman come in. He was, you know, he needed a plant. So we do dish gardens. That's like plants that you'd send to an office or something like that. You know, and so he needed a plant. There's a little bit of a language barrier because I don't speak. I'm not fluent in Spanish. I can pick up some words because, you know, I'm 40 something and I had to take it in school to get into college, but it's been a long time. Right. And so like apparently May 10th is Mexican Mother's Day. It's always May 10th. I did not know there was a separate Mother's Day, but then a regular customer came in and she clarified it for me.
That was yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you sell some stuff?
I mean, I had two people come in specifically for that. The first guy did not explain it to me. The lady that came in, her and her husband patronized our business on a very regular basis. She informed me that she was getting flowers for her mother because yesterday was Mexican Mother's
Day. I feel like
Day.
That exposed a whole lot of stuff. I mean, yeah. Why didn't this?
Never knew that.
I mean,
I didn't know it either. And we own a flower shop, so there's that. Like, it's not on the calendars that I get, but she told me it's always May 10th. So I thought it was pretty cool.
So how much adventuring are you doing for furniture right now?
Right now we are not doing it like we used to. We used to take all the time and go places and stuff like that. Probably once, twice a week.
Okay.
You know, lately it's been coming directly to us. Like, people will, because of social media, they'll see it and they'll send me a picture and they will sometimes deliver it to us.
So do people ask you, hey man, you know, maybe keep an eye out for something like this?
All the time.
Or keep an eye out for something like that?
Yes, all the time.
So you're always kind of...
I have a list of things that people are looking for and hopes to find it. Right now, mid-century modern stuff is very popular because of the mix of that with the boho styling stuff.
Mid-century modern. Tell me what that looks like, because I am...
Very clean lines. Okay. You know, oftentimes, you know... wood tones. Sometimes it's been painted. It's got maybe metal legs or some sort of brass feet or something like that. Very clean.
So mid-century, is that the 50s?
50s, 60s. I mean, 50s, 60s, something like that.
So that,
I mean,
retro, kind of that boomerangy.
Yes.
Yep. Remember the boomerang style stuff?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's amazing how people are willing to go nuts over. And you have to know the fancy names, which we don't know, which is why we will never use the word antique for our business, because I'm not fancy enough to know that this is a King Charles chair or whatever I think that's the name of a dog though. But like, you know what I'm getting at. Like, you know, like what you described, you know, with the coat rack thing that your father has. Like, there's a fancy name
there's
for
a
it.
Name for that thing.
Yeah. But I don't know what it is, which is why we won't use the word antique, because
I think the hooks have like lion faces on them.
Yeah. Probably super fancy and probably very valuable. And
lion chair.
Right.
Mira.
Right, yeah. Figure out a fancy name for it.
Yes, if it was too bad they're not dragons. Right. Could be the House of Dragons chair.
Yeah, could be the House of Lions chair, I guess, right?
There you go.
You can put stuff in the mane.
Right, yeah. Very You've got stuffy. Hair, so you could talk about the mane,
all
the hair. I mean, like, you could have a whole theme going here.
Yeah, give me the chair, Dad. Give me the sticky note. I'm putting it on there. Just go through the house and put sticky notes on all the stuff you
That's
want.
That's the worst one when people do that. My grandmother did that to me, and I'm like, I don't want you. Like, this was a long time ago.
Oh, my cousin. She sticky noted the freaking whole house up.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Nana, go ahead and get your teacup out of that thing. My name is on it now, and it belongs to me, but it's going to sit in your house until you die.
Yeah,
like,
every
that
day
never felt great to me. That sucked. I'm like, I'm not putting my name on anything. I'm not doing that.
Every day you look at a sticky note, like, what's that mean? It's my death.
Right, exactly. It's imminent.
Well, it is. You know, it's also strange is for, like, my father. You know, I didn't care, and it kind of pissed him off.
Right.
He's like, nobody cares. You know, they're coming out of a time in their lives where that, you know, the world was based around the stuff, and it was all quality, and this whole transition of the stuff that we get and just toss it to the side.
It's true.
You know, broken, buy another, you know, where back in the day we would fix it, or we had repair people and stuff like that. So, you know, coming out of that era in his life, you know, what do you mean you don't want this? This is good stuff.
It's hard for him to imagine. He may have worked a very long time to buy one piece of furniture like that, you know?
Well, in his mind, it has a value. And then in my mind, it doesn't. And he's like, idiot. So, but as I've matured and gotten older, I've realized, you know, there are some things, you know, that are important. And some of these things that, you know, especially if you want quality. I mean, this is, we're actually building a really nice house. And do I want to put a Walmart or IKEA table? I mean, IKEA, I guess, is okay, but I've seen that junky IKEA stuff too. So
I don't want to put it together, is my issue. That's why
I don't want to put it together either.
It wobbles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, the screw gets a little wonky later, and you know, then you're mad, and then you're like a third of what you could have paid on this, you know, really nice piece. You should have just put the money into that, and you know. But then the flip side, you're building a home. The first time I bought a house, I did it the wrong way. I went and bought You know, I was waiting for things to kind of shake out. It was a long time ago.
Put all the furniture first.
I'm buying really cool stuff, waiting. Can't wait to put it in my space. I'm like, you're a dumbass. You should have bought the house first, lived in the space with minimal stuff to figure out what was going to work. You know, like, maybe you don't need a table with 8 chairs. Maybe you need a table with 4 chairs and an eat-in kitchen. Yeah. Like, but I did it the wrong way. I bought a huge buffet and a bar and then realized, I'm like, well, I guess I didn't really need all that stuff. Yeah. And now I hate it. So then I had to get rid of it. And this was years ago before I even imagined repurposing a piece of furniture. That is my husband's thought process. He is a guy that will – he doesn't want to hire anyone to do anything. He wants to do it himself. All of that. He can't imagine. We had a guy like start cutting our grass. It was the first time in a very long time that we'd had that last year. It was just easier. And it was right on the heels of my husband getting a really nice zero turn mower. So this was a great conversation. But our business was busy. So like it just made sense for us to kind of, you know, again, we're patronizing a local guy. He has a landscaping business and he has a full-time job as well. And we thought like, you know, we're throwing him, you know, a little bone as well. So it works out for all of us. You know, it's just one of those luxuries that you kind of forget about and, you know, all that. But when the world is busy, it just makes it easier for you. And
my lawnmower is an antique.
Yeah?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it feels 100 years old.
Right?
Those are the best ones.
That'll change if you're moving into a new house, though, because you're probably going to want your grass to look nice and be a certain way. Are you going to be that neighbor?
No. Well, we're going to
be the neighbor
with
brown grass.
We're going to still have another house that we're going to rent. So I'm going to use the lawnmower. The house that we're building, I think, actually has somebody come cut the grass.
Fancy. Yeah. It's easier. It takes all, you know, like you're busy. You've got things going on. Like
I'm not busy.
Just repair it.
I love cutting grass. In fact, I was a little... You know, we are upgrading our house, but we are downgrading some things. Like, you know, the fact is we're a lot closer to our neighbors than we used to be. Yeah. We used to have a little more, you know, like Sanford and Sons sort of, you know, leave the bike in the front yard overnight. Right. It'd be fine. A little more upscale, but, you know, there's nothing like a good old lawnmower.
Yeah, we're on 12 acres, friend. I'm not cutting that much grass.
No, that's different. That's
next level.
Yeah, that's a pull behind. But yeah. This lawnmower is actually cool, and it kind of represents kind of sort of how life is. I mean, the lawnmower that I have is, like, literally I can put it in reverse and cut the grass backwards. Like, right. There's no safety switches on it. You know, right. You can cut a foot off with this lawnmower, where now you can't even think. Did you just think you're getting off this thing with the blade running? It just shuts down. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, I like, you know, and everything is, but that's how everything is now. It's just
no safety features at all.
Well, so
back in my day.
Well, it's funny you say that because I saw, I don't know where I saw it, some social media thing. Like, you know, so bothered and affected are we now as people. And it was about the manual that came with a car, you know, like, back in the day, like, and I'm getting it wrong, but the basic detail of it was back in the day, your car manual came with 3 pages, you know, turn the key, do whatever, you know, all of this. Now it's like, now the new manuals are, they need appendix and all of that. And that's don't drink the battery stuff. Don't drink the coolant. Like there's all these extra instructions. So you're right. Yeah. You know, the old school stuff did come with less of the things. You know, I can't get out of my car now with the key in my pocket because it screams, things like that. There's all these other details that you never even thought you'd even be concerned about. I like cutting grass if the yard is small and I can make the lines. I'd be the guy, like when I lived alone and had my own place, like I wanted the lines and I would alternate them so I'd get that really cool crisscross pattern.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was on a quarter acre and the house was in the middle of it, so... I mean, it took me probably an hour to cut the grass, and that was including the trimming. So I enjoyed that. It was cathartic. I felt good about it afterwards. I could walk by, like, the guy, the hand in my shorts, thinking, like, yeah, that looks good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, 12 acres, I'm not touching. Then all of the things. I have no interest in it.
You might want to think about wildflowers.
Just sprinkling it all over the place.
Well, you know, make designated areas for wildflowers.
Right.
You know, you don't need to cut 12 acres of grass.
No, I mean, there's trees and stuff like that, so it's not just an open field of 12 acres. But even in that, you know, you're picking up sticks because you don't want to tear the mower up. I'm tapped out. Like by the end of the day, I've talked my mouth off, and I don't want to go out and do all the things.
12 acres, that's a nice chunk. That's a nice, I mean, I think that's what we would probably all secretly like to have, is a nice little house on 12 acres and half the mowing.
Yeah, or less.
Less.
just quarter acre.
You decided to mow a quarter acre. And then
I graveled it all. It's all pavement. It's like I'm in the middle of the city. Yeah.
No. So the other 9 and 11 quarters, or no, what was it? 12. How many acres? 12. So 11 and 3 quarters left. I'm going to just wildflower.
Yep. All the flowers.
So what is, so I mean, are we getting ready for summer? Getting excited? I mean, people coming down? Is this the first, I guess it'll be, I mean, you guys have been open the whole time, right?
Yeah.
You've been grinding through it. So
so this will be our second summer in this location.
Do you feel like this is a special summer? Do you feel like we've made a turn? Do you feel like this is it?
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that, I mean, we still have a lot of wind? Traffic. Yeah. I mean, it never stopped for us. We didn't have a choice.
Well, you said you're not doing as many, like, you're not chasing as much furniture because people are bringing it to you more.
They're bringing it to us, and then, you know, the flower side of our business is busy, you know, so.
And you tried to kind of get out of that.
He did. We're fortunate that we had that through the pandemic, because when you couldn't celebrate in person, you know, you sent gifts, you sent flowers, you went on, you know, all of that. Yeah. So that made it, you know, that I mean, and that, without being morbid about it, people still died.
Sure.
And, you know, and.
What?
Yeah, people
maybe
still
even
died.
More.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely more people died.
Well, you know, and I do think that it's, you know, to just be a flower business, I think is tough. You know, I get this 1-800. I didn't realize it makes sense now. I didn't realize that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I guess that makes sense. But to be, you know, we're starting to see it like edible arrangements.
Yeah.
They're a great example. So they were edible arrangements, and now they're just edible,
mm-hmm.
right? They've made the change. Now you can buy smoothies, you can buy lunch. I mean, because how long can you sustain a business that only sells
one thing,
freaking strawberries?
Yeah,
and they're delicious, no disrespect to them,
right,
but
absolutely,
they got to figure it out. And you're starting to see so edible. I mean, we saw it with 31 flavors. I mean, when I was a kid, it was Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors, and now it's basically everything.
Invent your own flavor.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
if you've been to a Cold Stone or one of those places where they just beat the hell out of it on a stone with some, you know, ice cream scoops, you do it whatever you want. They mix anything like that in that. As a kid that grew up in Lewis, though, like there's no, I mean, you can tell me all the flavors. For me, it's King's Ice Cream Coffee.
Two Dips. I read last night, Two Dips closed.
Super sad.
Yeah.
It was a great little place to, I mean, you know, I grew up on West 3rd Street in Lewis, so Two Dips did not exist at the time, but like, as an adult coming back into Lewis, it was really cool. Like you grab a bite to eat downtown. Maybe you don't get ice cream right away and you ride over that, you know, come back over the bridge. And it was nice to kind of pop in there.
I wonder why they closed. I know that my buddy Rick, I think bought the buildings. I think he's going to build something, but you think they could have figured out how to keep Two Dips.
I mean, they had a food truck too, though. So I don't know how that, I mean, cause I actually, interestingly enough, I saw that, on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, well, there's so much stuff going on. I mean, since the pandemic, you know, I mean, what was it? Oh, you know, you're always like, what's next? You know, all of a sudden you think one thing's going to be here forever, and then it just disappears, and it's just,
it's sad.
Exhausting. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on. I enjoy watching you guys. I think it's funny. There's a little backstory we didn't even know about, so that's cool. You know, anything, obviously, we can do. Anytime you want to come on, anything we can do to help you be all you want to be.
Awesome.
Let us know.
That.
But I do think you're having a lot of fun with it.
Whatever
you're doing, it caught my eye.
Cool. I appreciate that.
And I'm like, and I think I might even want some stuff. I saw some cool stuff on there. It's probably gone, right? But listen,
whatever you saw.
If you're out there and you want to go check out some cool stuff, go find it. We're at
614 Northwest Front Street in Milford.
So downtown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're across from the fire hall. So, like, if you're coming through Milford and you're...
Are you by the parking lot?
No, we are kind of on the way out of town if you've come in. Like, if you come from where we are today, Milton, and you head up one and you go through, you're going to be kind of exiting Milford as you hit us.
Okay.
But we're across from Carlisle Fire Department also.
Okay.
So.
And what's your number?
302-200-0752.
Nice. And you can find you guys on Instagram. Are you on Facebook as well?
On Instagram, on Facebook, and we have a website to order flowers, and it's, of course, www.nottooshabbyflorist.com.
Awesome. Are you doing TikTok?
I just started TikTok. People are brutal on TikTok, the comments. So I'm trying to be – I've only witnessed it. So I'm like, I mean, I feel like I'd be the guy that'd be like, send me your address. I'm coming to your house. We're going to talk about this. So I was cautious about that because I would like, you know, somebody. Yeah. So I've only
they're mean. Huh?
You got to watch. Some people don't even mean it. They just want to rise up.
Yeah, I know. And I'm hard with that. Like if we have people in our store that are aggressive, it's funny. So my husband and one of our friends that work with us, they don't see the customer. They only hear the conversation. And if someone is being like that person, they're back there with a countdown waiting for me to like get them. Like, because people will ask dumb stuff or they'll do this thing where like, if there's a price tag on something and they'll say, well, you have $45 now. Will you take 25? I can't call the electric company friend and say my bill was $300. Will you take
Tijuana?
No, like, so, but yeah, I mean, so it's interesting for sure.
45 rubles.
Maybe. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. I mean, bring me back a coffee and maybe we'll talk about a $5 discount. But no, not really. I don't want anybody to think that. But yeah.
What's going on? Did you say something on that podcast?
Yeah, I heard that.
If you bring me $6 worth of coffee, you get $5 off.
I like that. Yes, I like that.
Well, listen, Don, I appreciate it. Follow them at Not Too Shabby on your Instagram, Facebook, all the social platforms. And send some comments. Make them nice, though, so we don't rattle Don too bad.
Right, please. Yes, thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Come on anytime, and awesome. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.